Thank you, Nikki, for bringing the reading this morning. Thank you.
Today's scripture reading is Mark 3, verse 13 to 19. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's good to be with all of you. We're going to do an exercise in imagination for a little bit. I would love for you to pause for just a moment and remember what it is like to be a youth, to be 13, 14, 15. Just pause for a moment. Well, maybe for some of you, your youth years were longer ago than you would like to admit. And for others, these youth years are just recent, or maybe you're in the midst of them right now. Maybe that's where you're at right now. Whatever stage of life you find yourself in, I think that we can agree on one thing. When you are young, life can be confusing. When you are young, there are so many big questions to answer. Who am I? Where do I belong? What is my purpose? And people, generation after generation, have been seeking answers to these same questions. These are questions that cannot be ignored because they impact every area of life. And thankfully, we're going to discover in God's word this morning that Jesus cares deeply about these questions. I'm going to read just a part of the verses from Mark 3 that we've just heard. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him all those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, and then 11 more. Well, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I always thought of the disciples as adults. Right? I always thought of them as older people who were chosen by Jesus because of their great maturity. But from the historical data that we do have, we have really good reason to believe that almost all of them were under 20 years old. And some maybe more like 14, 15. Does that change the way that you think about the disciples? A little bit? Maybe it even changes the way that you think about Jesus and his ability to choose disciples. I am inspired by the way that Jesus addresses these big questions with the disciples, his youth group, you might say, to use a term that's familiar to us. If you are a youth yourself, I hope that you're able to begin to find answers in Jesus this morning. And if you're past your youth days, I hope that you will be inspired by Jesus to work to help the next generation find their answers in Him. The first question, who am I? It's a question of identity. The first three disciples Jesus listed in Mark 3 are given new names by Him. They're given new names. Simon is given the name Peter, which you probably may know means roughly rock or rocky. A name was incredibly important in the time of Jesus as a way of identifying the character of a person. And this is still true in many cultures today. Therefore, when Jesus changes Simon's name to Peter, He is saying, I alone will tell you who you are. I alone. Jesus wants to do this for all of us. He wants to tell you who you really are. When I was in university, the quest for the answer to who I am was all around us, right? Everybody's trying to figure out who they are, especially in university. And there were two main areas where I wrestled with identity. The first one was I played volleyball for the university and was actually quite good. And I share that with you because I wanted my volleyball goodness to be what people saw me for. This is really, truly embarrassing. I remember going out to play volleyball with some friends, and when we were done, it was time to go to dinner. We were playing beach volleyball at the time, and I had a towel and my volleyball with me. I had to walk right past my dormitory to get to where the dining room was, but I chose to continue to carry my volleyball with the towel over my shoulder, inconveniently go get my meal tray while trying to hold this volleyball so that people would see me as Peter, the one who's good at volleyball. You understand? I really wanted them to see that I had value and worth because of my ability to play volleyball. Now, on the flip side of the strong ability to play volleyball was my terrible ability to find a girlfriend. Okay? I went to a Christian university, and by the time I was in my third and fourth year, everybody was pairing off, right? That's what you do at Christian university. And I tried very, very, very hard to make relationship after relationship after relationship happen. And I'm not going to share all kinds of funny stories, but I could. But the point is that I felt that I was lacking and that my value and worth was lower because of what I didn't have. I came to a point at the end of my university years where I found myself lying flat on my apartment floor, crying and broken, because I was so deeply longing for the intimacy of a dating relationship. And I came to a point where I had to wrestle and say, Lord, my value and worth needs to be in You. I'm releasing that to You. It was a discovery that it's not our strengths or weaknesses, our surpluses or our deficits that define us. It wasn't my ability in volleyball. It wasn't my deficit of relationship. In the passage we read twice this morning, we are told that Jesus appointed the 12. Appointed. It's used twice. The word translated appointed, we're going to get some Greek. I hope you're excited this morning for some Greek. Poieo. Can you say it? Poieo. It's good. You can share that. There's probably lots of reasons to share poieo around. But poieo, or appointed, means to make one thing out of something else. To make one thing out of something else. By appointing the disciples, Jesus is declaring that their identity, their value and worth, is defined by him. Jesus answers this question, who am I, by saying, you are who I make you to be. You are who I make you to be. Paul writes this in Galatians 3, for all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. The more we put our faith and trust in Jesus, the more we identify with our Savior. Who am I? I am a follower of Jesus, shaped by him, becoming more like him each and every day. But these deficits, these strengths, these weaknesses, our desire to make ourselves feel worth something never change. And the irony is that I am now terrible at volleyball. I don't know the last time I've played volleyball. I don't even know if I can hit a volleyball or jump higher than this off the ground. But on the flip side, God has incredibly blessed me with a wife and a family. I'm still not defined by those things, even though one has become a strength or a surplus and one has become a deficit. If you are here this morning and you are trying to figure out who you are, look to Jesus. And if you are a follower of Jesus already, do people see Jesus when they look at you? The next of our big questions this morning is one of belonging. One of belonging. Where do I fit? Where do I belong? I didn't share this. I'll share a little bit more later, but before coming to this role with the Canadian Baptists, I served as a pastor at West Point Grey Baptist, right here in the city of Vancouver. And in leading youth ministry, we would have monthly youth events. And I'd get phone calls, texts, contact before, with questions. And what was interesting to me was that before these events, the questions were rarely things like, what are we doing? They were rarely about what time does it start. They were almost always this question, who will be there? You see, for the people coming to this youth event, it was more important for them that when they stepped into the room, that they recognized someone that made them feel as though they belonged. Do you get that? That's what was important. Didn't matter if we were doing crazy bowling or some other crazy thing we were doing. They wanted so deeply to belong that it meant more who was going to be there. Within the last year, year and a half, Canada, the medical professionals in Canada have actually declared that loneliness is an official epidemic. It's a disease, you could say. It's so prevalent in our culture that the medical society has now said loneliness is a problem. Loneliness is a problem. And I think when it comes down to it, it's because we were created for relationship and created with a deep desire to belong. Mark 3:14 says this, Jesus appointed the 12 that they might be with him, that they might be with him. John 15:15, Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have now made known to you. Jesus names us friend. What does it mean for us? It means that in a way that it's hard to accept at times, no matter how out of place we might feel in this world, we belong with Jesus. He wants to be with us. He wants to spend time with us. Just as sheep belong to their shepherd, so too do we belong to the good shepherd, Jesus. Think about some of the final words that Jesus shared to his disciples. Matthew 28:20, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." He is with us always. Always, because we belong to him and with him. Did you know that the word Christian literally means belonging to Jesus, belonging to Christ? It's powerful. A couple more questions. Do you know the close presence and friendship of Jesus? And if you do, how do you extend that welcome and friendship of Jesus to others? Our final big question this morning is about our purpose in life. In our main passage from Mark 3, we read that Jesus appoints the disciples that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Jesus has already, he's made it clear to them that the disciples' identity is to be in him, to have their value and worth defined by Jesus, and that they already belong to him. Now he's giving the 12 clear purpose to preach and to drive out demons. And Jesus expands on this purpose in the Great Commission. He tells them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. These purposes have been directing the church for centuries, and it's incredibly important. However, many people still struggle with, well, how are we specifically called to participate in Jesus' purposes? What purpose does Jesus have for you or for me? Well, firstly, Jesus wants us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is a good starting point because it gives us a way to kind of a check and a balance. If the things we are involved in are in line with God's purposes. But we usually want even more of a specific answer, specific direction. And discerning Jesus' specific direction for us often requires, or it always requires, offering ourselves completely to him. And then waiting. And listening, and waiting, and listening, and waiting, and listening. It's with this attitude that Paul says in Romans 12:2 that we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Waiting is hard, but it is worth it. As I mentioned, I was blessed to serve as a youth and young adult pastor at West Point Gray Baptist Church near UBC campus for 11 years. And toward the end of that time, there were some changes happening. The church was discerning, all right, Lord, what direction do you have for us? And out of that came an opportunity for the role that I had at West Point Gray to shift slightly. I was youth and young adults. They said, we'd like you to be children's and youth. Well, you're a pastor, right? You love young people. That's great. But I felt that I really needed to bring that before God. And so as I do when I need to discern and pray, I go for long walks. Does anyone else like to go for walks when you're praying? And okay. So I go for this long walk, hours, and I bring this before the Lord. And the strangest thing comes back. This was very confusing. The message I heard from the Lord so clearly was, Peter, you need to be finished in youth and young adult ministry at West Point Grey Baptist so that you can be in youth and young adult ministry. Thanks, God. Thanks for really clearing that one up. And through the process of bringing that to others that I respect, the church family, the only appropriate way to move forward in discernment was to step away, even though it was a season of great ministry. And out of that decision, I made an assumption. If I followed God in that difficult place, that the answer would be immediate and would be exactly what I expected it to be. But during that season, which was a long season, a couple of things happened. One is, I was off of work for the first time in 35 years. Well, I guess I wasn't working when I was a little kid, but you get what I mean. And I was now caring for my two-year-old and my four-month-old son full-time. That was a stretching experience, to say the least. And in the midst of that, an opportunity arose that was clearly God's next step, because I'm called to youth and young adult ministry. A mega church called, you know, one of those really, really large churches. And they said, we'd like you to candidate and see if maybe you'd come and be our high school pastor. I didn't need to bring that before God, because clearly that was God's invitation. So I just went. I thought it all went great. They said, this is going to be your office. All of this, a week and a half goes by, I get back, they flew me somewhere, I get back to Canada, and out of the blue, I get a call, and the call is, we've decided to go another direction. I was crushed. I'm a youth and young adult pastor. This is an opportunity. I realized I hadn't brought any of it before God. None of it. God wanted so clearly to make it known to me that he didn't want it for me, that they weren't choosing someone else. The position, still to this day, a year and a half later, is still unfilled. It was just a no, because it needed to be a no. Long story short, in that season then, I began to say, all right, Lord, what is it that you actually want from me? I thought I was listening, but I'm not so sure. And in that space came this opportunity as director of Next Generation Ministries. This position didn't exist when I finished at West Point Grey. A lot of people have thought that left one to go into another. It didn't exist. And my immediate reaction was to say, nope, doesn't apply. It's not a pastoral role. But I had learned a little bit better from that previous experience to say, Lord, I need to be bringing this before you. And over a period of discernment, God brought me to a place where he said, this is pastoral and this is what I have for you. This is what I have for you. But it's hard. Waiting is hard. And the answer is not always what we expect it to be. But Jesus promises in John 10:10, that I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus wants the fullness of life for his followers, but they must listen for his voice and obey. Have you been listening for the voice of Jesus? Does your daily life reflect the purposes that Jesus wants for you? This morning, we've been exploring some of life's biggest questions. Who am I? Where do I belong? What is my purpose? These questions are so important. during teenage and youth years. But as you've probably realized, that even as adults, if you are past those years, we're still asking these questions. They're still important to us. Who are you? I'll remind you of some of the things we've heard from Jesus this morning. You are loved. You are deeply loved. You are to be a reflection of Jesus, that as people see you, they see him. Jesus wants to take you and make you into something absolutely beautiful. Jesus wants you to be like him. Where do you belong? Life can be incredibly lonely, but we don't have to feel alone. I know that's easier said than done for some of you that are really in a place of deep loneliness. Jesus has called us friends, and as Christians, we belong to him, and somehow, in the midst of it, Christ is enough for us in a way that we might not fully understand, but Christ is enough. When we are in Christ Jesus, we are never truly alone. What is your purpose? Simply, Jesus asks us to love God and to love others. To determine how we are to do this specifically requires waiting for God to speak. Waiting. Listening is hard, but God's ways are perfect. They're absolutely perfect. And if we hear his voice and obey, we will live a full life. Above all else this morning, I hope you hear this. Don't stop asking Jesus the deep, longing questions of your heart. Don't stop. Because his promise to us is great in Matthew 7 when he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, whether we're in our youth years, just past them, or long past them, we have questions. Life doesn't always make sense to us. You've given us assurance that if we bring our big questions to you, that you will meet us in them, that you provide answers to them through your word. And through seeking you. Jesus, I pray that we'd be people that receive our value and worth from you, that we know the deep care and love that you have us, that we belong to you, and that your good purposes for us that you want to reveal them to us and walk with us as we walk into them. Thank you for being our God, our Savior, our example, our friend. Amen.